Give the gift that everyone wants, Omaha Steaks. Right now, save 50% site-wide, plus get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. Save on USDA-certified tender bacon-wrapped filet mignons, perfectly aged ribeyes, gourmet sides, and decadent desserts, delivered right to their door. Skip the stress. Order now at omahasteaks.com. That's omahasteaks.com, and use code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout to get an extra $35 off. Hurry, these deals won't last. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
Welcome, friends, to another episode of the Whistler Podcast with your host, Mel. I am Mel, and I'll be here to keep you company and walk you through these amazing episodes and share my insight and some information about what was going on during the time that this episode originally aired. We will be covering the episode Destiny, which was originally broadcast September 3rd, 1943. But before we dive into today's story, I want to ask you something. You know those nights when you toss and turn because you just can't cool down? Especially, I know the summer's gone now, but, you know, September, October is always still pretty hot. I used to have that issue all the time, but I switched over to sheets from CozyEarth.com. They're insanely breathable, incredibly soft, and a real game changer to help you sleep better. And they offer a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. You can't beat that, man. And if you decide to take them up on their challenge, just go ahead and use the code WilburHatch. Yes, I made our code WilburHatch easy to remember at the checkout, and you can enjoy a 41% discount. That's huge, guys. So tonight's story, again, is Destiny, originally aired September 3rd, 1943. And as always, we're going to go ahead and meet our characters. First up is Milton Strong. That last name is a little bit of a cruel irony because Milton is anything but strong. He's 45 years old, he's thin, he's balding, and for 25 years, he's worked in the same company as a bookkeeper. In that whole time he's been there, he's never once asked for a raise. 25 years. His pay, it was $35 a week. So I did a little calculations online, and that would come out to around $560 in today's money. Not too much in today's society where everything is so expensive. Then there's his boss, Mr. Goldfright. He's cold, he's unempathetic, and honestly just seems to enjoy Milton's misery. Instead of a raise, he forces Milton into early retirement at just 45 years old. I'm older than 45 years old, and I couldn't imagine retiring at 45 years old. And his reward for being retired early, $70 a month. Can you imagine that? So that calculates to around $1,100 in today's money. And Goldfright also has a nerve to tell Milton it's an honor for him to retire with that, and that he envies Milton. You know, I pull this sadistic side to his boss, Mr. Goldfright, to enjoy that. It's almost like he enjoys to see him squirm. And I'm sure we've probably all had at least one boss like that in our life. And then we have Martha Strong, Milton's wife. She's an incredibly domineering woman. She's controlling. She's one of those nagging wives. She tears him down every chance she gets, and Milton is truly terrified to tell her that he was forced into retirement. So tell me in the comments what your opinion is about Milton being pushed out at 45, because that wasn't the retirement age. So I wonder what Goldfright's reasoning was. Was he just being cruel, or did he have another reason for that? And I wonder how different Milton's life would have been if he had a supportive loving wife who built him up instead of just tearing him down? Would he have had the courage to ask for raises throughout his 25 years, stand up to his boss? It's something to think about. So now you have an idea about some of the characters. Let's go ahead and step into this episode of The Whistler and see where destiny takes our friend Milton Strong. And here we go, guys.
I'm the Whistler.
I have as much freedom as a squirrel in a cage. Martha is a cold, mercenary devil. But I'll have freedom beginning tonight. I'll kill her.
Friday night, and again, CBS presents The Whistler.
I, the Whistler, know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales, many secrets hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. And so I tell you tonight the amazing story of destiny. At a long table in a New York office sits a little man. He is slightly bald and thin and 45. A mild-mannered, reticent little fellow named Milton Strong. But Milton is anything but strong. For the past 25 years, he has worked in the office and now, as a bookkeeper, is earning the stupendous salary of $35 a week. Milton can't understand why no one appreciates his ability. Milton has grown a bit sour, but he's never had the nerve to ask for a raise. Today, however, is going to be different. His wife has started him out with a lecture, and Milton is going to face the boss in a manner both clear and strong.
Mr. Goulthright, I'd like to have a word with you.
A word?
Mr. Goulthright, it has long been my decision to approach you on this subject, but for various reasons, a sense of reticence has bade me be silent.
How long did it take you to memorize that, Milton?
I am 45 years old. I've worked hard and long and faithfully for this company.
That's right, Milton. I'm aware of that. You haven't missed a day in all that time. In fact, our efficiency expert is getting out a booklet, and he's using you as the feature.
I came to this firm as a lad of 20, and in all the following 25 years, I ask for very little. I did my work well.
Sure you did, Milton, and the company appreciates it.
I now draw a salary of $35 a week, and I thought that if, after all this time, 25 years, you could see your way clear to afford...
Go on, Milton.
I'm not getting any younger.
Well, Milton, strange as it seems, I've just come from a meeting of the department heads. Mr. Unger is the head of the accounting department, and... Now, let me see. Oh, yes, here it is. Yes, here is his recommendation regarding you, Milton.
Oh, yes, yes, Mr. Goulthright.
He recommends that you be retired at half salary, as of the first of the month, in consideration of your long service and loyalty to the company.
Retired? Oh, but that can't be. Retired?
That's what it says here.
Yes, but I don't understand. I'm only 45. Why, no one is retired until he's at
least... Why, you should be tickled to death. It's like a pension.
But I came here to ask for a raise.
A raise? Well, how could that be possible when your department head suggests retirement?
Oh, I see.
Why, you should be tickled to death. I'd be, and you get 2 weeks' full salary and 2 weeks' vacation besides at full pay. You know, Milton, I kind of envy you.
So I'm fired.
Fired? Why, that's crazy. You've been honored.
Good night, Mr. Goulthright.
Good night, Milton. After Saturday, you've got nothing to worry about. Nothing.
And so poor Milton Strong walks out of the big office and starts home. All the way, his feeling of apprehension increases. His wife, Martha, what will she say? It was his wife who stirred him to the point of demanding a raise. Finally, Milton gets up nerve enough to go home. Home to certain death at the hands of Martha.
That you, Milton?
Yes, it's me, Martha.
Well, where on earth have you been? Can't you ever get it into your head that when I say dinner will be ready by 6, I mean it?
But things happen sometimes to delay me, Martha.
Delay you? I'd like to know what could happen to make you this late.
But you see, I took some time to talk
to you. What do you mean by coming in this house with that mud on your shoes? Get outside and take those rubbers off.
Yes, I forgot.
Yeah, you'd forget your head if it wasn't tied on.
Yes, Martha, I'll take them off.
And what do you mean coming into the house smoking that stinking pipe? Get it outside, you hear?
Yes, Martha, but I started to tell you.
Oh, go on out. If you insist on smoking, do it outside.
I'll put it out, Martha. I'll put it out.
Your dinner's cold and you can eat it that way.
Martha, I couldn't help it. I went to talk to Mr. Goolthright about the raise.
Yeah? What happened?
Well, you see, I'm a little along in years.
Along in years? Is that what he said?
No, he didn't say it. The head of the department had made a recommendation.
For what?
Well, now, don't get excited, Martha. I went in to ask for a raise, as you said, and, well, everything had been arranged.
Well, did you get the raise?
No. I've been retired on half salary.
Retired? Retired? At your age? Are you crazy? Why did you accept? Why?
I accept. What could I do?
So, you went in to ask for a raise, and you let them throw you out right into the ash can.
Oh, what could I do? It was all arranged.
Retired at half salary, $17.50 a week. And you stood there like a nitwit and let them put that over on
but
you.
But, Martha...
You stupid, spineless jellyfish.
What could I do?
You let them push you around for 25 years. You could have been in Guthrie's job right now, but you're afraid to open up your mouth.
I went to his office to demand a raise, but he beat me to it.
Yeah, that's always been the trouble, Milton Strong. Somebody's always beat you to it. Spoke up first. Huh. Retired. $17.50 a week. An old man. And how are you going to manage on $17.50 a week?
Well, I suppose I can find something else.
I'd like to know what.
I'll find something, and until I do, well, your sister left you $1,500 last...
What did you say?
Nothing. That is...
If you think I'm going to touch a dollar of that money while you're still able to stand on 2 feet, you're crazy.
But until I get
something... It's in the bank, and it'll stay there.
Well...
And if you want to smoke that filthy pipe, get outside.
Yes, Martha. I'll go outside.
You want anything to eat? It's on the kitchen table.
I don't want anything.
What?
I'll eat it later. After a while, Martha. I want to think.
Think? Don't wear yourself out. I'm going to bed. Good night. I said good night.
Yes. Good night, Martha. Good night.
It is long past midnight, and Milton has been sitting by the window, staring into the night. Resentment has taken hold of him, and slowly grown into hatred and revenge. Terrible thoughts surge through his brain.
Why should I tolerate such persecution? Why should I stand idly by and be pushed around by everyone? Belittled by the firm, bulldozed by Martha. She's not a wife. She's a cold, mercenary devil. Freedom. I have as much freedom as a squirrel in a cage. Appreciation, loyalty, 25 years of it. And what do I get? But I'll have freedom. I will have it. Beginning tonight, I'll kill her. I'll go far away. No one will ever know what has become of me.
Trembling in anticipation, Milton goes into the small kitchen, opens a drawer, and steps softly to Martha's room. Opens her door and stands listening to her easy breathing. Then... Milton leaves the house and wanders about the streets till dawn. Then, at 10 in the morning, he steps into the bank.
Good morning, Mr. Strong.
Oh, I'd like to cash this check, please.
I see. Purchasing some property, Mr. Strong?
Yes.
Just a second. Oh, very well. How do you want it?
Oh, well, it doesn't matter. Perhaps the small bills would be best.
Oh, yes, of course. This is 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Ah, there you are.
Thank you. Good morning.
Several days later, Milton Strong gets off a train in a western state, takes a small bus for a little mining town 50 miles away. Here in this vast desert country, he will begin a new life, a life of freedom. He will change his name, change his destiny. Milton Strong has ceased to exist. A new man is born. The little bus bounces into Oroville, and 2 hours later, he is chatting with a prospector in the gold plate bar.
Well, I'll tell you, partner, I've been here a couple of years and I haven't struck much yet. Oh, I found a little pay dirt, enough to get along.
There's supposed to be quite a lot of gold here, isn't there?
Oh, sure, it's here, it's all over. Sometimes you strike in a day or so, and then sometimes you work for years. And if a man ain't got capital of his own, well, somebody's got to grubstake him. But it's here.
Yes, in other words, it's a matter of being optimistic.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes, well, I think I'd like to try it. Of course, I don't know anything about mining, but...
Oh, you don't have to know in this country. It's easy. Anybody can tell gold when he sees it. Where are you from?
Los Angeles. I had to come here. The doctor said I should get away from the ocean air.
You don't look sick.
Well, I was fortunate to have a checkup in time. I'd like to find a place and try my hand at it.
You mean buy a place?
Yes, yes.
Well, I got a nice place. 3-room cabin, good water. There's ore there. You got the patience.
You mean you want to quit?
Well, no, I don't want to. But I'm out of funds. I owe everybody in town, so I ain't got a choice. And the fellow who gets it will probably be the one to hit dirt in a week.
Is it far from town?
About 25 miles. Kind of lonely for a fellow alone.
Mm-hmm. Well, could I see the place?
Sure. I ain't been up there for a week. Been staying here in town while my wife went to Sacramento to try to raise a little money from her uncle. She just got back this morning. She's doing a little shopping now.
Did she raise any money?
No, just enough to eat on for a few weeks. But we decided to pull out. Besides, I hurt my arm last week.
Oh, but I'd like to look the place over.
Well, here I am. Believe me, I'm ready to go. I'm dead tired.
Oh, Kate, this is a gentleman who wants to look the claim over. Thought we might take him with us now.
Oh? Well, sure, why not?
This is my wife, Kate Rogers.
Oh, how do you do?
Stranger here?
That's right.
Well, then let's be on our way. I'm sure you'll like the place.
The car's just around the corner. Do you want to get your bags?
They're up by the door. I haven't been to a hotel yet.
That's good. We'll be to the place in about an hour.
Well, this is it, friend.
It looks fine from here.
Then have a look inside. And tomorrow, my husband can take you over the claim. There are 3 rooms. Living room, bedroom, kitchen. All fairly good size.
Well, that should certainly be enough for one man.
You're not married?
No, I'm alone.
Just a minute, I'll light the lamp. No electricity up here. Nothing else modern, for that matter.
Well, I understand. Yes, it's very nice. I like it.
Plenty of good water for drinking and sluicing. The air's wonderful. That should interest you.
Air? Something wrong with you, stranger?
Yes, well, just a little touch of lung trouble. Oh, by the way, Mr. Rogers, how did you injure your arm? I notice it's in a sling.
Oh, it was my own darn fault. Kate warned me about digging on that ledge. I fell off and... Well, I didn't break it, but the cuts just don't seem to heal up.
Oh, I see.
Now, to get back to the property, I'm pretty sure there's ore on it. Rich ore. And there's plenty of game around here.
Come on, take a look at the bedroom and the kitchen.
This is the bedroom.
Steve!
Oh, what's the matter, Kate?
Look, Steve! Look!
Yeah? Oh, steady, Kate. Take it easy.
But who is he?
I don't know. But he's dead, whoever he is.
Dead?
He's been shot. No blood around here that I can see. Must have been shot someplace else and made his way to our place.
Yes, but who is he?
I don't know. Never seen him before. According to his clothes, I'd say he was from out of town. Man from some city, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, he must be.
About 45 or 50, I'd say.
Steve, we better go back to town and get the sheriff.
Yeah, I guess so. Somebody should stay here. You'll have to drive me in, Kate, unless you can drive, mister.
Oh, no. I never drove a car in my life.
You mind staying here?
No, I'll stay.
Then come on, Steve. Let's go.
For 20 minutes after the departure of the prospector and his wife, Milton stares at the body of the dead man. Then slowly the realization comes upon him. The man is about his own age, his own size, from the city. And most amazing thing of all, he looks like Milton. A stranger, no one knows his name. But no one knows Milton's name. He hadn't mentioned his name once. Suddenly, he steps to the body and goes through the pockets. He finds identification. Harry Jacobs. Then, in another pocket, he finds...
Good Lord. Money, bills. Why, there must be... 1, 2, 3, 4... Why, there's $20,000 here. $20,000. And no one knows who he is.
Quickly, Milton reaches a decision. He exchanges papers with the corpse of Harry Jacobs, replaces some of the money in Harry Jacobs' pockets, and keeps some for himself. Then, 2 hours later, the Rogers return with the sheriff.
Know who he is, Sheriff?
Nope. Never saw him before. I'd say he was shot about 10 or 12 hours ago.
How long do you think he's been dead?
Maybe 6 hours.
Well, from all appearances, he wasn't shot here. We ain't been here for a week, you know.
Well... See if he's got any identification on him.
I'd say he was from out of town, from the city.
Who are you?
This gentleman is our guest. He's looking the place over with the idea of buying it.
I see. Well, here we are. This man's name is Milton Strong, New York City. Now, wait a minute. Look at this. A package of banknotes. Money wrapped in bands. Hey, read the printing on those bands.
First State Bank of Oroville.
Well, what do you know? This must be the fellow that robbed the bank in town this afternoon.
What? Robbed the bank?
Sure. Ain't you heard? Killed the cashier and got away with $20,000. Vice president shot at him, but he got away. Well, there's probably somebody with him. But we don't know for sure.
How much did they get from the bank?
$20,000.
How much is there?
Let's see. Hey, there's only $10,000 here. Now, what do you make of that? So far as we know, there was only one bandit. Now, what do you suppose the other $10,000 disappeared to? Well, maybe he had a cohort after all. Milton Strong, eh? Well, we'll just get back to town and notify the authorities in New York.
The authorities? What about his family?
The police in New York will take care of that. Well, that's that. I'll return the money. You can bury him, Rogers.
Bury him? Here?
Well, certainly. What else could we do? There's no undertaker in Oroville. Body wouldn't keep any time in this heat. Well, thanks, Rogers. I'll be getting back to town.
Thanks, Sheriff.
What did you say your name was, stranger?
It's Jacobs. Harry Jacobs.
I see. Well, so long, folks.
So, next morning, Milton Strong, the bank bandit, is buried in the sand at the edge of the claim. Yes, Milton Strong is no more. He is now known as Harry Jacobs. In the afternoon, Roger shows him over the property and explains its potentialities. He still hasn't decided, and after dinner leaves the cabin again.
Where's he gone now, Steve?
Oh, he's wandered around by himself, trying to make up his mind if he wants a place.
Sure is strange acting, Galoot.
I'm just a bit suspicious of him, Kate. He said he came from Los Angeles. But how do we know?
Yeah, that's right. How do we know?
I don't think he's here for his health. And I don't think he's a darn bit interested in prospecting.
Steve, what do you think? Tell me.
I went all over the property again.
Yeah? Well, you wear yourself out hiking around like that.
Mr. Rogers, I've made up my mind. I'll take the place.
Yeah? Well, now I'll tell you. Kate and I have been talking things over and... Well, it'd take a good deal to buy the place and finance the workings properly.
But I've got plenty of cash and I want the place to myself.
Yeah? You got the money with you or in a bank?
Yes, I have some with me. Enough, I'm sure, to handle the deal.
You say you came from Los Angeles?
Yes.
You're a funny acting fella, Jacobs. A little too quiet for my likes. Don't talk much. Just what happened in Los Angeles?
What do you mean?
You said you came here for your health. If it's lung trouble, as you said, then why don't you cough any?
Well, you see...
You got any identification on you, Jacobs?
Yes, of course.
I'd like to see it, if you don't mind.
Yes. There you are.
Harry Jacobs. New York City. New York, eh? But you said Los Angeles.
Well, I came from New York to Los Angeles. I wasn't in California very long.
And you got plenty of cash with you?
Yes, enough. How much do you want?
$3,000 will do it.
Three? Well, that seems like a large price for this place.
You want it, don't you, Jacobs? Real bad?
Yes. I'd like to have it.
All right. You and me will drive into town in the morning and have the lawyer drop the papers.
Yes, all right. Well, I think I'll go to bed now. It's a bit late. So, good night.
What do you think, Steve?
He's got the cash with him.
This place ain't worth $3,000.
I know. But if he's got that much, then he's got a lot more.
Shall we... Well, I could slip into...
No. Just leave everything to me.
But Milton doesn't sleep well. The strange attitude of Rogers and his wife makes him uneasy. Next morning, he is up at 8 and finds Kate Rogers in the kitchen.
Good morning, Mrs. Rogers.
Morning.
Where's Mr. Rogers?
Why, he drove into town to get the lawyer. He didn't want to disturb you so early.
What?
He's going to have the papers made out and bring them back with him.
I thought he couldn't drive.
Well, his arm's so much better. He figured he'd be all right.
Mm-hmm. How soon will he be back?
Should have been here half hour ago. It's 9 o'clock. Well, there he is now. How about some breakfast?
Oh, yes, yes.
Say up, are you, Jacobs?
Yes. Did you get the papers arranged?
We don't have to sign any papers, Jacobs. I won't be selling the place.
Why not?
I don't have to. I'll have all the money I need in a few days.
But you said that you...
I haven't been to any lawyers. I've been to the sheriff's office. Sent a wire to New York. And I got an answer.
What? A wire? Well, what about?
Put up your hands, Jacobs. Put them up. You may be a mild-looking little guy, but I'm taking no chances with a killer.
What did you say?
You're wanted by the New York police for banditry and murder.
Oh, no, but it's a mistake.
Here's the telegram. Your description. Read it.
Yes, sir. Harry Jacobs, 45, 5 feet 6, as per your description, wanted for robbery and murder of bank messenger. $10,000 reward. Dead or alive.
$10,000 reward. Get that?
Oh, no. It's all a mistake. You don't understand.
I understand, all right. You and your partner came out here to hide out. Probably robbed a half dozen banks on the way.
Partner? What partner?
The fellow we buried the other day. That Milton Strong. The sheriff said there must have been two bandits. And there was only 10,000 on him. What become of the other 10,000?
I tell you, I had nothing to do with the holdup.
You carry too much cash on you, Jacobs. If you got 3,000, you must have more. You were too anxious to get this place, and it ain't worth more than 1,000.
Yes, but you're wrong, Rogers.
You're going back to town with me, Jacobs. I'm collecting that 10,000 reward.
No, please, no. Don't take me back. I can't go back to New York. I can't.
I can imagine that. They'll fry you.
You've got to listen to me. You've just got to...
Search his stuff, Kate. He's got the money someplace.
No, wait. I've got the money. And here it is. The money from the bank. There.
Gee, that's it. The same bank wrappers. And yeah, it's 10,000. No, there's more. Another 1,000.
The 10,000 of the wrappers belongs to the bank. The rest is mine.
That's all we need to know, Jacobs. Come on. And I hope the sheriff don't spill this before you're locked up. The town would tear you to pieces.
No, look, just listen to me. I swear, I never saw that dead man in my life. I did come here to get away from embarrassing circumstances. I wanted to lose myself. After you went for the sheriff, I searched the man's pockets. I found his identification. And because he resembled me, I switched his papers with mine. And then I found the money. I decided to keep some of it. I am Milton Strong, and the dead man was Harry Jacobs.
What a story. Who'd believe that?
Don't send me back to New York. There's no reward for me. The troop would come out and you wouldn't get a dime. Now, here, you keep this money I took from the robber and let me go. No one will ever know the difference.
Oh, no. I'm not that dumb. I'll turn you and the money in and collect the reward. I'd rather get it legally. Come on, Jacobs, before the town gets wise.
Milton is handed over to the sheriff and locked up in the flimsy jail. They have wired New York, and a detective with extradition papers is flying west. But unfortunately, the word has gotten around town that the jail holds the murderer of the bank cashier. A crowd of men, silent men, has gathered in the front of the jail.
I don't know what we're going to do about this, Rogers. Are you sure you didn't say anything about it?
I didn't say a word. I don't know how they found out about it, but maybe some of your deputies talked.
I warned them not to say a word. I don't mind crowds that shout and yell. And I'm afraid of the crowd that just stands and says nothing.
They're sure on the warpath.
Yeah. That detective from New York should have been here an hour ago. I sent a car to meet the plane.
Maybe the plane was late.
Yeah. Well, if the crowd starts anything, somebody's going to get hurt. Hey, you fellas better get your shotguns ready. They might break out any minute.
All right, Brady. Don't worry about that.
Well, Jacobs, got anything more to say?
Well, I've told you that I'm Milton Strong. I had nothing to do with the bank holdup.
Well, that crowd looks surly, so I guess I better put you back in the cell.
Wait a minute. Here comes your car, Sheriff.
It's about time. Go out and tell Jake the driver to stay around the back of the jail and stay in the car. Don't let that crowd know what he's doing.
Right, Sheriff. I get you. You Sheriff Talbot?
That's right, and I'm mighty glad to see you.
Under 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I know. Now, let's get down to business. That crowd outside's going to get impatient pretty soon.
Crowd? What do they want?
What they call justice. This fellow here held up the bank and killed the cashier. But I wanted to be sure he was Harry Jacobs. He had identification on him, but he claims he's Milton Strong.
Milton Strong?
Yeah. We buried Milton Strong several days ago. We found part of the bank money on his body.
Milton Strong?
Yeah. But if he's really Harry Jacobs, I'd prefer you get him out of here and deal with him in New York. I had one lynch in here, and I don't want another.
But he isn't Harry Jacobs. I knew Harry personally.
He ain't Harry Jacobs.
No. But he is Milton Strong. Harry Jacobs was a professional holdup. But not Milton Strong.
Then we really buried Harry Jacobs.
What do you mean?
I took this fellow to my claim with the idea of selling it to him.
Yeah.
We found a dead man in my cabin. I came after the sheriff, and this fellow claimed that while we were gone, he exchanged papers with the dead man.
Well, from all appearances, that's just what he did.
Yeah, but why should he do that?
Well, Milton Strong is wanted in New York, too.
I'm wanted in New York? What for?
As if you didn't know.
Well, what's he done? What's he wanted for?
Hey, that crowd is starting. Get him out of here. Hurry. Out the back way. The car's waiting.
Let's go, Milton.
You can catch 11:30 train. I'll stall him off as long as I can.
All the way back to New York, Lieutenant Clark will not talk. They ride across the country in utter silence. And 3 days later, Milton sits in the office of Inspector Burns of the New York Police.
Milton, on the morning of July 20th, did you cash a check at a bank at 21st in Lexington?
Yes, I did.
A check made out to you by your wife?
Yes.
Are you sure your wife wrote that check?
Well, yes, she did.
Why did you leave town the same day?
Well, I went on a vacation.
Why didn't your wife go with you? Why?
Well, because I wanted to be alone. That is...
You might as well tell the truth, Milton. You haven't a chance to get out of it.
No, I didn't.
Sorry, Milton, but we have proof. We have a witness.
A witness?
Yes. Bring in the witness, Lieutenant.
Come in, please.
Where have you been, Milton?
Oh, Martha!
Why didn't you let me know where you were?
Oh, no, please, Martha. Let's don't talk about it here.
What were you doing in Arizona?
I was just taking a little vacation. I was going to write you. I tried to buy a cabin in the mountains. For you and me, Martha. For us.
What? Don't you dare light that pipe.
No. No, Martha. I have quit smoking. I wasn't even conscious of what I was doing.
And what are you doing without your rubbers? You know it's raining.
Well, I took them off outside, Martha.
Come on, Milton. Let's go home. I have a few things to talk over with you.
Yes, darling.
Well, come on. Get up out of that chair.
Yes, darling.
Just a minute. What about this charge, this check forgery?
Forgery? Oh, I wrote that check. I remember the whole thing now.
Then what about the charge of wife desertion?
He's come back, hasn't he?
But we brought him back.
Well, I wrote the check so he could make a down payment on a house. But like the child he is, he wanted to take a trip and hunt gold. He's always been an adventuresome soul. Well, go on, Milton. Get along. And if you dare light that dirty pipe, I'll shake your head off. Go on.
Yes, darling. Well, good day, gentlemen.
Well, it just goes to show you that no man can escape his destiny. No man can change fate. And when he attempts to do so, he only conjures up far worse conditions for himself. Poor Milton Strong ran away from things and ended up at the starting point, back with Martha. But he's happy now. Martha's nagging is now sweet music to his ears, because Martha really loves him. Out west, they almost lynched him, nearly took his freedom away. But Martha saved him. She lied for him. Yes, Milton did forge that check. He was even going to kill Martha. But he got cold feet the moment he walked into her room. But Milton will be a good boy now. In his search for so-called freedom, he came close to the jaws of death. Lucky Milton.
CBS has presented The Whistler. Original music for this production was composed by Wilbur Hatch and conducted by Ivan Dittmars. The Whistler is written and directed by J. Donald Wilson and originates from Columbia Square in Hollywood. Next week, same time,
I, The Whistler, will return to tell you another unusual story. Good night.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Milton's going to be a good boy now. So what'd you guys think about that? Milton is going to be a good boy. You know, Poor Milton. You know, they had me going for a while. I thought that they were going to say that he had actually killed his wife, but he didn't. He didn't have the courage, which in this case was a good thing. But I actually thought that they were going to get him then. So he did abandon her, but he wanted to escape his life. And I think there's a lot of us that can relate to that to some degree. And, but, you know, the irony is the very person that he tried to escape was the very person who kind of saved him. She lied for him and said that she had initially wrote that check for him. And regarding the abandonment charge, that's an interesting one because I don't know when they stopped making that a crime in the United States, but I know at one time it was a crime to abandon your spouse. I believe that was mainly for the men, but I could be wrong. Please correct me if you guys know different. And do you think that's something that we should have nowadays? There seems like there's a lot of that that still goes on, and people aren't really held accountable for that. So in the end, Milton tried to run from his destiny, but as we all know, your destiny is your destiny. There's no way you can alter that. And if you disagree with me, I'd love to hear your side of the story. So let's see what was happening on September 3rd, 1943. Okay. So that morning of September 3rd, 1943, the Allies invaded mainland Italy for the first time in the war. British and Canadian troops crossed the Strait of Messina from Sicily and landed at Reggio di Calabria, meeting very little resistance. This was the start of what was called Operation Baytown. Meanwhile, in Sicily, Italian General Giuseppe Castellano secretly signed the Armistice of Cassibile, Italy's unconditional surrender. It wouldn't take effect immediately, but at that moment marked the beginning of Italy's exit from the Axis powers. And U.S. Army General Walter Bendel Smith signed on behalf of the Allies. And in the month of September 1943, Chairman Chiang Kai-shek again became the chairman of the Nationalist Government of China. And on September 7th, 1943, there was a horrible fire that broke out. And I'm sorry, guys, I lost my place where I was on my notes. Forgive me. A fire broke out at the Gulf Hotel in Houston, Texas, leading to the loss of 55 people. So horrible. So if you enjoyed tonight's tale, don't forget to follow the show and share it with your fellow mystery lovers. And if there's someone you know that might be interested in hearing old time radio, please share it as well. My goal is to preserve the old-time radio shows, not in the sense of physically, but to spread the word, because this is a genre that should never die. And I think we should really introduce people who haven't heard them. I mean, we have drama, we have crime shows, we have sci-fi, comedy, I mean, there's so many great shows out there, and I like to keep it alive a little bit and do my part. Well, this is Mel, and like the Whistler, I know many things, and I'll be here to share the next episode with you on, probably next week. I might do another episode maybe a little sooner than that. So I might do another, I might drop another episode.
Have you heard the strange tales
Oops. Of... Sorry, guys. So anyways, have a great week, and I look forward to seeing you guys next time.